He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
Yes, and my colleague Jay DeMarkin, who has been absent for a couple of weeks of shows recently, is still away. He's on a road trip to Florida. And I guess when he comes back, which hopefully will be soon, we will have some comments about what's going on in the European car industry, as well as his driving experience along the East Coast, which is the second trip he's taken in a matter of weeks. He texted me back this morning when I asked him if he was going to be around for this show to tell me that it was a S show on the roads driving south. And everybody can fill in the S word.
Was that because there were lots of people?
He didn't define what it was.
Or
I think
storms.
It was the road traffic count is pretty high in the corridor that people use to go north to south. Probably with trucks and with passenger vehicles. But we'll get more on him when he's back on the show. In the meantime, the industry is rolling along, lurching along with chip problems, but there seems to be an okay inventory of some manufacturers' vehicles. I drove around this area, our listing area, which includes several areas where there are car dealerships, and over the weekend, and car dealerships, which are incredibly devoid of new inventory, and by I mean freshly made cars, 2022 models in most cases, with new window stickers on them. But they have seemed to have helped themselves to being able to get hold of pre-owned vehicles, either through auctions of off-lease vehicles or through their own vehicles that they have leased, and I guess it's, you know, an annual 52-week rotation, because anybody who leases a car in any week of any year has to turn it in at the end of 3 years. For example, an Audi dealership in Watertown had about six brand-new Audis of various sizes, models, available on their lot that I went through over this recent weekend. And they had about a dozen cars with certified pre-owned plates on the back, which means they are have come probably off lease. They have been gone over by what the dealers are supposed to do, checklists, and made ready, available for people to purchase them. To that point, the problem, I can't figure out what's going on. I want to say that some dealerships with new vehicles, and this Audi dealer is no exception, is starting to adjust the sticker prices on the new vehicles they have with what they call market adjustment labeling stuck side by side to the manufacturer's retail sticker price. And what that usually means is that they are having a limited number of vehicles that they can offer for sale to the public, and they are using or employing tactics to raise the price. In this case, I believe it was $3,000 to $4,000 per vehicle, and this was for Q3s. These are SUV lines. That's mostly what they had. They didn't have any sedans. I looked at those additional dealer ADM markup labels to see what they were tabulating on there, and one was just a market adjustment for scarcity. Then there was something called a specialty exterior treatment to the paint. It might have been a ceramic wax situation application. I don't know. And then there was glass etching. That was listed at $199. I did not see any etched glass with VIN numbers on the two vehicles I looked at with these additional dealer markup stickers, which made me wonder whether if I were to go purchase one of these, I should make that noted, and they say, well, we'll get it done for you, or I say, I don't want it. Dealership VIN markings, I'm going to digress quickly here about VIN markings. This is a common additional dealer markup that many dealerships use in different vehicle makes to make a little of extra profit. I suspect it costs them probably less than $50 to have the person who comes in and etches every independent or separate glass piece in the doors, the front, the rear of vehicles with a code number, so that if the vehicle is stolen and it is located, the police or whoever locates the stolen vehicle can, if they know it even exists, and I can tell you they're pretty invisible in most cases on the in the window glass and the ones I've seen, so if the dealer they didn't know to look, they might never see them. They can spot or they can source where the cars came from. It's a highly profitable thing for the dealers to do, along with paint protection applications, alleging protection against sap from tree droppings, bird droppings, and the like. It could be possibly useful in some cases, but my experience with these additional dealer markups is that they have been, they are very convenient for the buyer not to have to do it themselves, but it probably would cost a buyer, besides doing it him or herself to the vehicle, about half to have it done by somebody else doing the same kind of application. I've never used any of them or wanted any of those on any of the vehicles I've ever purchased, but I'm fussy about that kind of additional expense. And I have never had a paint problem, quite frankly, on any vehicles I've ever owned to make me wish I had had those application, that application, the paint protection application, applied to any of my vehicles. It is purely something the dealer can do to make a bit more money. The major amount of this additional dealer markup, which I believe was $4,000 per vehicle, not three, was just a dealer markup amount. And whether or not that is a negotiable situation when you go to purchase one of these rare new cars available in this particular Audi dealer's lot is open to the dealer's willingness to negotiate any price at all. One of the things that's been going on through this problem of inventory shortage due to all the things we've talked about on many shows before is that there isn't much really new inventory. The Subaru dealer in Torrington, which is a well-known Subaru dealer, very well-liked by most of their customers, has all, before this pandemic, chip shortage situation, used to have, and so did the Audi dealer, their lots filled with vehicles, both new and used. The Subaru dealer is also virtually sold out of Subarus, as far as new vehicles are concerned, and they had very, very few used Subarus on the lot for people to look at. Subaru is right now selling about everything they can produce, according to an article I've read recently, including cars coming off carriers being already pre-sold to the dealers that are able to get them. Talking about pre-sold orders, Ford is now selling cars, and the manufacturers have gotten smart. If you go in and want a particular car and model, you can place an order now, and you are likely to get that vehicle probably within 6 to 8 weeks, because what the manufacturers have figured out is that with the chips that they are getting, which are limited in numbers, they are now building cars to order as opposed to building cars to inventory, for dealer inventory, which is what will return when production gets back to normal, if and when it does. To that end, there are a lot. I see a lot of new vehicles showing up on the roads, and the interesting part about that is that I still go by our local area Ford dealer, for example, and that dealership has very few new vehicles on its lot. Yet I'm seeing the plates on these new cars. The dealers usually put their dealership name on a plate frame on the back and the front of the plates if the owners let them do it. And so I know that the cars that I see that I know are new with this dealership's plate frame on it, they are getting cars through this dealership, although you don't see them on the lot. But that's the way dealerships are selling cars, so that they can possibly build to order as opposed to build to inventory. But you no longer are, you don't have the easy option of just going on to any dealer now, right now, and finding a car that you might want to buy and get instant gratification. This used to be the way it was all the time back when I bought my first car, which was in order
to
my specifications. What?
You mean it used to be fun?
It used to be fun. It was fun,
and
at least for me.
No, I'm serious. And the thing that I just marvel at is the power of advertising. It was just basically terrified. Look, if you're a gearhead, and some people just naturally are, then you pay no attention. But if you are, if you get all your information from adverts, then it's terrifying. You're gonna get it's too scary to go to a dealership.
You know, because you ordered a car one time, and the dealer went out and supposedly got you the car that you ordered, only for you to find out that he or she, that dealership, did not get the car that you ordered, but they found a car that they thought they were going to put by you.
But I only learned that after. I mean, you know, you got to learn. It's like the first time you walk down the street in New York with your wallet showing.
Right.
I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I just, you know.
I forget whether you told me you bought that car or not, but it
was
an interesting experience.
The Volvo dealership in Manhattan.
On
66 or something in First Avenue, wherever it was. You know, where do you go? I wanted a Volvo, and I went. Oh, what color do you want? Graphite. You know what I mean?
We'll get it to you in a few days. We'll find it in inventory somewhere else's dealer and get it delivered to you. You know, we'll get it for you from wherever we find it. And hopefully you won't notice that it forgot to come with heated seats.
But exactly right. And then I learned from the place in Katona, the name is escaping me right now, that they had people who just like rang up for a new car every, you know, for each model. You know, Mrs. Gottbucks was, I started understanding, so to speak, and this was long before I met you, but basically I started understanding the exigencies of car dealers and car dealerships.
Well, yes, and nothing much has changed, okay?
Okay.
What I've discovered also about them is that they are emotionless about what they sell. And it doesn't, you know, I'm a very emotional car buyer. I love what I buy. I research what I want to buy and what I want on the car I buy. And I must say my affairs with my vehicles is extremely satisfying from an emotional situation. Dealers, you know, you go in and tell a dealer how much you love the car. They don't really give a darn about what you think about the car. They just got another car sold to you, and you're just another notch in their sales requirements for on a monthly situation. So they can listen to all the emotions that anybody who wants to go in and talk about a car that you want to feed them, but all they really care is whether you're going to sign a contract before you leave the dealership or you're going to leave them wondering where you're going next, which is what I suggest people do if they want to sort of politely escape the dealer's desire to, let's say, trap or at least convince them to sign on the dotted line before they get off the lot after they've gone in to test drive a vehicle. That's the way the automobile industry is, and it's going to stay that way, except that right now they don't have the vehicles to be able to do it the way they used to be able to do it. So we're going to move on. Coming into this electronic age or this computer age and all that is going to be a new profit center in the article that I'm looking at right now. Going forward, I do not know how fast it is going to occur and come online, but the title of the article is Automakers See Gold in Over-the-Air Software Upgrades. I read into that article. I was trying to see what they were going to do, and of course, I have experienced some software upgrade capabilities on some of the recent vehicles I have owned, mostly the Jeeps, in that I was getting software upgrades on my first Jeep Cherokee, which I purchased in 2014 when they had brought out a new line of vehicles. It was the Cherokee, and they were having trouble with their transmissions and various other things, and they were able to I was being recalled to go into the dealer to get software upgrades for transmission shifting programs, engine management programs, and the like, which is something that you didn't used to be able to have done to your vehicle by just going in and having the dealer plug it into a computer to upgrade software that was already in a computer in your car. But that's now, none of the cars are filled with computers. And the latest thing now is that you don't have to even go into the dealer. My Jeep Cherokees get read every month, as does my Hyundai Sonata, from a satellite. And I get a health report on the Hyundais and the Jeep Cherokees for each of the Jeeps I own. They even know what the tire pressure ratings are in the tires. They know whether the engine's running properly.
That's okay with you? All this is okay with you, right?
Yeah, it's all okay with me. I have no problem with it. This is not a privacy thing for me. I think it's an easy way to see whether what the manufacturer knows about my car on a monthly basis. They know what the mileage is in the car at the time the satellite read the car. They know if I should be thinking about an oil change.
Presumably,
blah, blah, blah.
Though, they can make your car not drive.
They could probably make my car not drive.
Or your car is
not
driving.
All cars already come with those programs.
But that's what I mean.
Indeed, you can do. If you have children or if you have your car stolen, you can have it deactivated either from an app on your phone in some cases, or through, well, GM has had what do they call OnStar for years, in which you could call theoretically a number, and OnStar could possibly shut your car down if it was in
somebody's
hands you didn't want it to be.
Let me ask you a question. What if you did something not necessarily illegal that the government deemed worthy of taking you off the road?
Well, you already have the black box in the car, regardless of what that question was asking. So the government can read. This is what's going on in accident investigations. They're getting the police or somebody has access to the black box. It's like the black boxes in airlines. You know, when an airline crashes, they try to go get those boxes to see what caused the accident. And they know how Tesla is filled with black box information. They know exactly how fast the car is going at the time of impact, so they know if the driver was possibly, allegedly driving at an illegal speed and possibly been a cause of the accident. All sorts of things come out of those black boxes.
And can you just, do the cops, it's a serious question, do they just have access to it or do they have to go through?
I do not know the answer to that question. I do know that they can get access to them, and whether they have automatic access or they have to get permission, I don't know.
Okay, just curious. We are coming to the. We're coming to the safety tip portion of the program.
We're almost there. Yeah, that's true. I had something else I wanted, and I just lost it with your comment about the safety tip portion thing. But let me go back to the software upgrades. What the manufacturers are hoping to do for new cars going forward when they get their plans together and their acts together is going to be able to charge you, the owner, subscription fees to do things. My Hyundai came with courtesy subscription fees to a number of options which have just run out, and I want to say I am not renewing them because they were like a hidden monthly charge that if you put it on auto pay, you didn't pay any attention, and you were being paid X hundred dollars a month for things like being able to start your car remotely. This is a Hyundai situation. This is not the Jeep situation, which I'll get to before. We don't have many safety things, listeners, so don't worry. And I've been paying $160 a month or $130 a month for a subscription, which included, I believe, navigation, which really roils me. Starting my car from inside the house, which I can do free with my Jeep, all my Jeep Cherokees, where I have the cold weather package, and a number of other things, none of which I use. But they are probably useful for people who live in high crime rate cities, areas of the country where cars are stolen, but not needed to do, or locked. You know, you can get your car unlocked and all that. All of which the manufacturers are going to think they're going to start to charge people once they've courtesy subscription that will probably come with these vehicles going forward ends, and those subscriptions may be anywhere from 1 to 3 years, courtesy of the auto manufacturer. And by the time they come to the end, they're hoping that you, the car owner, is going to want to continue them, for which they're going to be able to charge. And if you don't want to continue them and pay the charge, they're going to be disconnected, which I think is not a very nice way to sort of cajole the owner into continuing to pay for things that may or may not be desirably needed after the courtesy subscriptions run out. Yes, we're getting closer to the safety situation. I will say we are in a winter situation. Blessedly, we have not had significant winter weather to keep reminding drivers to be careful when the roads are slippery. I do want to say that bridges freeze before road pavement, and there are several bridges around here that if they were to already be cold because of several repetitive days of sub-freezing weather. By sub-freezing, we're talking about 32 degrees or colder. The surfaces of the road would be such that wet precipitation might freeze on the bridges while not freezing on the regular road pavements. And it's surprising how slippery bridge surfaces can be. I don't know whether listeners hearing this have ever experienced being on a bridge that has frozen when the regular roads appeared to be perfectly fine. But if you were on a bridge that was on a curve, not many bridges are on curves. They're mostly straight across whatever you're bridging. But the surfaces can be very slippery. If you have to brake suddenly, you may find yourself not having much grip on the road, and your car might not slow down even with ABS, anti-lock braking systems. So you need to worry about that. I do say that you should check your tires for tread depth. If you have very little tread depth on your tires, you should be really thinking, if it's wintertime, about getting new tires, because treadless tires are very dangerous in snowy conditions. You absolutely have very little to no grip on a surface that has snow coverage if you don't have any tread depth to help connect you to the road. Windshield wipers. Windshield wiper blades should be in good operating condition for snow and sleet and freezing rain. Old blades that start to peel are no good in keeping your windshields clean in stormy weather. And it's amazing how you don't think about that at all, especially when we have dry periods in which you don't ever use your wiper blades. But they do dry out. Older blades do fray, and they start to peel. And the first time you really know that is when you turn the wipers on a day that you need them, and they just smear the stuff that's falling on your windshield all over and don't make it any easier to see out than it was before you turn the wipers on.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.